Hold it. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher. Welcome back to our third week of NFL coverage here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, where we're going to break down everything that happened in week two of the NFL, as well as look ahead into week three of the NFL in our betting segment, Straight Cash Homie, where we pick every single game against the spread so that you can take home some money this weekend. There are 10 teams in the NFL that are still undefeated. There are 10 teams in the NFL that are 0-2. We got the Niners 0-2 and the Raiders 2-0. Two completely different sides of the spectrum, and you know it's the Bay's Golden Days, so we're going to talk about the Raiders to start off this podcast. And what did I say on our last podcast? I guarantee a win over the New York Jets in our home opener. I tried warning you, town business was going to be in the motherfucking building, and Marshawn Lynch, just as I guaranteed, got his first touchdown as a Raider. And oh no, the Jets fans, the Jets players, their feelings got hurt because Marshawn was dancing on the sideline. Well, what'd you think was going to happen when town business is in the motherfucking building? It's Marshawn Lynch, and he really from Oakland, though.
Y'all know who I am, right?
Fear.
I go by the name of DJ Mustard like this. Let's go.
Oh. Derek checking at the line. Plenty of time. Play clock at 6-5. Three-step drop and a lob for Crabtree. He's got it. Touchdown. Target a lob on right side. Crabtree comeback catch, and he's in the end zone again. Touchdown! Raiders! Raiders with 30 seconds to go in the half. Third down and goal on the 2-yard line. Lynch to Carrs, left in the gun. 2x2. Crabtree, Cooper right. They give it to Marshawn. Marshawn in the end zone! Touchdown! Raiders! A beastly touchdown for Marshawn. His first as a Raider.
Cause I'm really from Oakland now. Cause I'm really from Oakland now. Cause I'm really from Oakland now. East Oakland, West Oakland, North Oakland. Like Mayor got them bitches out.
Patterson to the left to Derek in the gun. They're going to gun run. The running back, the wide receiver breaks the tackle. He's gone. They won't catch him. 10, 5. He slowed down. He still scores. Touchdown. Derek in the gun. It's a toss to Richard. The Jets push that back inside, but he ran right by it. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Raiders! Jalen Richard, the pocket rocket. Derek in a sprint right. Throw, end zone, caught. Michael Crabtree, hat trick. His third of the day. Give it to me again. Touchdown!
Cause Marshawn is really from Oakland though. Put that city on a map. He from Oakland, ho. Let's go. Raiders get the win. 45-20 over the Jets, just like I guaranteed. And for the first time since 2002, the Raiders start the season 2-0. We all know what happened in that 2002 year. Super Bowl, the Raiders put up 45 points on the Jets. 6 touchdowns, a nice field goal to end the day, and 1 beast mode back in Oakland. So let's go ahead and hop into this game and see how it all happened. In the first quarter, the Raiders got off to the first scoring drive on an 11-play, 81-yard touchdown drive that started off with a flea flicker to Michael Crabtree to start his big day. Then Beast Mode comes in on a huge 31 in the red zone to set up a first and goal on the goal line. And we're all thinking, it's Beast Mode time. I mean, he really from Oakland, though. We in Oakland. Let's get him in the end zone, though. But no, Derek Carr walks up to the line and calls an audible. And you might ask, what was that audible? It was the Seattle call, because we all know Seattle loves to throw the ball on the one-yard line. So a little bit of a troll job by the Raiders with Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. Derek Carr walks up to the line, sees nine guys in the box, seeing single coverage up top with Crabtree and Cooper. He calls the Seattle audible to go to a pass on the one-yard line. And just like that, throws up the fade to Crabtree, and Crabtree gets his first touchdown of the day to put the Raiders up 7-0. The Jets can't respond, as on their next drive they go 3-and-out after a big Mario Edwards Jr. sack. And just like that, we're in the second quarter where the Raiders lead an 8-play 85-yard touchdown drive. It started off with Kamari Cooper getting a big 15-yard conversion on third down. Then Jalen Rashard, the pocket rocket, gets a 39-yard catch, and it all leads to Crabtree's second 26-yard timing touchdown. This was a beautiful thing down the sideline. Crabtree had his man beat. Carr just lobbed it up. Crabtree stops, pinpoints the ball in the middle of the air, cuts back inside. Touchdown, Raiders, and the Raiders take the lead 14-0. The Jets finally responded midway through the second quarter after a couple of terrible calls. They got set up pretty nice on an unnecessary roughness call on a tackle by Bruce Irvin. Yes, you heard me right, on a tackle by Bruce Irvin. We can't even make tackles anymore. We're still getting penalty calls and whatever. But that sets up a deep ball from Josh McCown to Jermaine Kearse. He gets a little bit of a push off David Amerson, and they connect on a 34-yard touchdown. And just like that, the score is 14-7. The Jets on their next drive add a field goal, and it's 14-10 with 2 minutes left and a half. And the Raiders offense is looking like it's about to sputter again, because on their last drive of the half, they got a punt. Marquette King comes out and boots a laser down the field, and they fumble. The Jets fumble, and Johnny Holton, one of the fastest guys on the Raiders, is down there to recover inside the five. And you know what time it is then. Inside the five, Beast Mode time. He really from Oakland, though, and he finally got in the end zone, though. Beast Mode gets his first touchdown as a Raider, 75th of his career. And just like that, the Raiders go up 21-10 at halftime in the third quarter. The Jets start the halftime with the field goal to be down 21-13, and the Raiders respond by going 84 yards in 7 plays, capped off by the newest addition, Cordell Flash Patterson, with a 43-yard touchdown run. He got a huge block by Kelechi Osemele, and the Raiders go up 28-13. Matt gets a nice big sack on the next drive to get his first sack of the year, and the Raiders get the ball back. And just like that, the Raiders in 4 plays go 79 yards thanks to the pocket rocket exploding once again. Jalen Rashard, a 52-yard touchdown run, and the Raiders are up 35-13. And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse for the Jets, the very next play, first play of the Jets drive, Carl Joseph, strip sack. The Haitian hitman was all over the field, and I loved it. In his second year in full recovery mode from that injury, the Haitian hitman had a huge game. And what do you know? It sets up the Raiders in the red zone for the return of Michael Grab 3. That's right. Money Tree's in the motherfucking building. Michael Grab 3 is back again. 3 touchdowns. We all remember when he went off against the Ravens last year and put up 3 touchdowns. That puts up the Raiders 42-13, and that's pretty much game over. Kearse got another touchdown on Emerson late in the game, and the Raiders could have got a 7th touchdown, but they took the field goal instead to get up to 45 points, and the Raiders get the dub 45-20. So let's look more now into the numbers. Let's look at the offense, because 45 points, of course, we're going to go straight into the offense. Derek Carr was 23-for-28, 230 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 136 passer rating. This is his 13th 3-touchdown game. All 3 of those touchdowns went to Michael Crabtree. As I mentioned, Michael Grab 3, he had a perfect wide receiver rating on a day, catching all 6 of 6 targets. And Derek Carr had a perfect quarterback rating while targeting Michael Crabtree. And this was the biggest thing for me. We all know Carr's history with his injuries, with that offensive line, and his brother getting sacked his whole career. Derek has been focusing on getting the ball out as fast as he could. He's averaging releasing the ball in 1.9 seconds. No quarterback ever has averaged the whole season getting the ball off under 2 seconds. Derek Carr is the only quarterback in the NFL this year to get that ball off and release it to his wide receivers in under 2 seconds. And that's great with a bad offensive line. But when we have an offensive line like the car insurance, that's just simply unfair. He was only pressured on 9 of 63 dropbacks the whole entire day. And this offensive line, you want to talk about the pass protection? Let's talk about their run blocking, because Kelechi Osemele was straight moving bodies. You heard me last year when we fucked up the Denver Broncos on the run. I had the whole move, bitch, intro with KO, Rodney Hudson, and Gabe Jackson. Well, all three were back this game, and they were being bullies and moving bodies and flipping bodies and handing out pancakes like they're at IHOP, the International House of Pancakes. This is the International House of Protecting Derek Carr, because his offensive line is by far one of the best in the league. And when you got blocking like that, the rushing touchdowns come easy. I mentioned Derek Carr had 3 passing touchdowns. We had 3 rushing touchdowns. Beast mode with that guaranteed touchdown that I told you last week. His first touchdown as a Raider. He's in a top 25 now, NFL all time, with scoring touchdowns. Jalen Richard had a huge 52-yard run. That was a great block by Rodney Hudson on that one. And I talked about Cordell Patterson and Kelechi Osemele connecting on that 43-yard run. When you got those big bodies moving people like that, oh, man, it is such a great thing to watch. This offense is finally clicking, and I told you, we're going to be one of those offenses that score 30, 40 points a game, and here was 45 points a game from the Raiders' offense. Now, let's look at the defense once again, letting up less than 21 points. I mentioned if we can stop teams from scoring 3 touchdowns against us, we can win pretty much any game this year. The defense, Carl Joseph, as I mentioned, the Haitian hitman, he's rated Pro Football Focus best Raider defender, and he's rated Pro Football Focus best safety in the NFL. After 2 weeks, he got his first career strip sack. Like I mentioned, he looked fully healthy. He's not playing with any limitations. He mentioned going back and watching film from last year. He thought that he looked a little hesitant coming off the injury, but now he's flying around like a bull in a china shop, and he's hitting people left and right, and I can't wait to see the full evolution of the Haitian hitman, Carl Joseph. Khalil Mack, as I mentioned, got his first sack of the season, but here's the thing about Khalil Mack. Started his 50th straight game to start his career, the only other player to do that in Raiders history. My man, Charles Woodson. Khalil Mack is joining some historic company right there, Seawood. We all know Mack, Defensive Player of the Year, going to be our Charles Woodson team captain of that defense for the next decade. And then let's talk about some of our rookies that we saw on the defense side of the ball. Linebacker Nicholas Morrow. A lot of Raider fans don't even know who this guy is. He was an undrafted free agent from Greenville College, and he has looked great in pass coverage so far. If you listen to the Raiders season preview podcast, I talked about how we were going to struggle at middle linebacker, and we don't have anybody who can cover. Well, Nicholas Morrow, the undrafted free agent from Greensville, has looked great in his first 2 games so far, and his snap count continues to rise. And then Garyon Conley, first round draft pick, check my stats. Let's go. The man from Ohio State finally gets on the football field to make his NFL debut. Had to deal with all the legal issues, had to deal with a couple of injuries, had to deal with whether or not he really had shin splints or whatever. But I don't care, because after all the weight, after 1 game, it's looking like it's paying off, because Garyon Conley looked great on the first play that they tried to target him. He broke up a deep ball, pinpointed the ball in the air, swatted it twice, and actually tried to swat it back to Reggie Nelson. Those are great ball skills you want to see from a corner, especially from a rookie. We saw David Amerson lit up 2 touchdowns on the day. Well, Garyon Conley on the other side only got targeted twice. He had a real shutdown day, and hopefully we can see him evolve into a shutdown corner. Like I mentioned, our defensive backs looked all right last week without Conley last week and without Obi Malafonu. So we'll see how much the Raiders defense continues to improve as some of these younger guys just continue to keep on getting added to this defense. More bodies, more playmakers. And at the end of the day, we didn't even need him, because we took care of the Jets. I told you we were going to take care of the Jets. Guaranteed. The Jets ain't shit. They didn't really have anything to show in this game. It was over from the beginning, and I told you that 14-point spread was going to be covered, and that's exactly what happened as the Raiders improved to 2-0 and took care of the New York Jets 45-20. And let's go ahead and look at the rest of the point spreads from around the league, because I made you some money off the Raiders. Let's go ahead and check back from our straight cash picks from week 2. But first, let's go ahead and look at some of the numbers floating around the NFL as we go deep into the numbers for week 2 of the NFL season.
It's the NFL numbers week 2 preview. 128,251 combined passing yards between Tom Brady and Drew Brees, the most of any opposing quarterbacks entering a game in NFL history. 2011, the last time a player debuted in the NFL with 2 straight 100-yard rushing games, when Ben Tate did it. Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt, and Dalvin Cook will try and end that drought this week. 2,143. Combined career rushing yards between two of this week's opposing quarterbacks, Tyrod Taylor and Cam Newton. They lead all quarterbacks in rushing since 2015.
Touchdown, Carolina Panthers.
28 sacks Aaron Donald has recorded since entering the league in 2014, leading all defensive tackles. He makes his season debut this week. 10 total dollar amount for a bottomless soda, hot dog, slice of pizza, and nachos with cheese at the Falcons' new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 3 NFL MVP awards between Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan, who square off in this week's Sunday Night Showdown. 9 miles between Marshawn Lynch's high school and the Oakland Coliseum, where Lynch will make his home debut as a member of the Raiders on Sunday. And that's the NFL Numbers Week 2 Preview.
That was the Week 2 Preview by the numbers, but now let's go ahead and look at the numbers that stuck out in Week 2 of the NFL season. We like to talk about the point spreads, but the biggest number I saw this weekend was 8. Yes, that's right, 8 rushing yards from Ezekiel Elliott, as we'll stick in the AFC West and break down the Broncos, Chiefs, and the Chargers. We'll start off with the Denver Broncos holding Ezekiel Elliott to 8 yards on 9 carries as they absolutely dismantled the Dallas Cowboys 42-17 in a game that I picked wrong. I thought this would be a close game. I thought the Cowboys offense should just be able to outscore Trevor Siemian, but boy was I wrong, as Trevor Siemian throws for 231 yards and 4 touchdowns. Who is this guy? Someone give him some new semen, some new DNA? Who is this guy? Trevor Siemian putting on CJ Anderson at 25 carries, 118 yards. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders were both tearing up this Dallas Cowboys defense, and it was the Cowboys offense that really did struggle. Dak Prescott looked like he was in the middle of a sophomore slump, just like I had suggested. I tried telling Cowboys fans before the season, you don't have a third-place schedule. You don't have an easy schedule. You got to play a first-place schedule, and now you're playing the AFC West. Even the NFC West has some pretty good defenses with the Cardinals and the Seahawks. But these Cowboys fans are, oh, yeah, the AFC West ain't nothing. What about the NFC East? It's so tough. Yeah, look at the Giants. That's the best defense in your division. How did they just fare Monday night against the Lions? How are they doing so far this year? No, I don't think there's any defenses in the NFC East. So I tried warning Cowboys fans, watch out for the defenses in the AFC West specifically, because the Cowboys with Dak and Zeke, they're 2-3 versus top 6 defenses, and they're 0-5 for scoring 20 points in those games. Zeke got bottled up, 9 carries, 8 yards. Dak Prescott with his 2 interceptions, I believe his first multi-interception game. It was not a pretty thing to see. Aqib Talib had a pick 6, took it to the house on Dak Prescott, that everybody was yelling at Zeke, why aren't you tackling anybody? Why aren't you running? Because he don't get paid for that. It don't matter. The game was out of hand already. He's not going to risk running down somebody and hurting somebody, get suspended, whatever. Zeke, you were a disappointment. Dak Prescott had more rushing yards than you. The Cowboys, this was a real reality check in Week 2, and this is the third-place team. This is a team who didn't even make the playoffs last year in the AFC West. I'm telling you, Cowboys fans, you got a rude awakening in for you. I like your squad, but that defense is suspect, and we saw what happened when you played a top-6 defense. The Cowboys tend to struggle. Let's keep it moving now to another top defense in that AFC West. Let's talk about the Chiefs. Once again, the AFC West takes out the NFC East as the Chiefs take out the Eagles 27-20. Alex Smith only needed 250 yards and 1 touchdown, but it was Kareem Hunt once again. 13 carries, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. He now has 5 touchdowns in the last 2 games. He ripped off a huge 50-yard touchdown run, and Travis Kelce was jumping left and right, trying to do everything he could to get into the end zone. 8 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown off that shovel pass that he hurdled the defender into the red zone, and the Chiefs took care of the Eagles, but this was a surprisingly close game. I told you to take the Chiefs. They ended up covering the spread, but the Eagles, I've mentioned Carson Wentz. This is a for-real team. Andy Reid playing against one of his former assistant coaches. This was a real tight and competitive game, and like I've mentioned, I like what I've seen so far out of the Eagles. And let's wrap up the AFC West with the Los Angeles Chargers, as I can get into my Los Angeles rant, because we'll just plug in the Rams with this too. I said last week on the podcast, nobody cares about the Rams or the Chargers in LA. Nobody at all. No one wants to show up to games. No one wants to go. The Chargers couldn't even sell out a soccer stadium. Yes, you heard me right. They couldn't sell out a soccer stadium. They had less fans at their game than San Diego State University. Their ratings in San Diego alone are down 53%. Everybody in San Diego now hates the Chargers, and it's hilarious, and everybody in San Diego is getting free tacos because there's a taqueria down in San Diego that is offering free tacos for every Chargers loss, and so far 0-2 means two free tacos. Taco Tuesday is turning up to a whole new level down in San Diego as the Dolphins took care of the Chargers 19-17. I shouldn't even say took care of because all that really happened was the Chargers choking again. For the second straight game, Young Hoku misses a game-winning or game-tying field goal to send it to overtime or to get the win. Try telling y'all, you're going to get in trouble fucking around with these young hoes. They're going to get you locked up, some jail bait. And even the Chargers fans were celebrating down there because of the 25,000, half of it was Dolphin fans. Because after Young Hoku misses the field goal, they set off the fireworks. They set off the cannons. And the Dolphins fans go wild. How bad is that for the Chargers? They couldn't even realize that they missed the field goal. Terrible. The only thing good for the Chargers that day was Antonio Gates. He broke Tony Gonzalez's tight end record with touchdown number 112. He now has 111 as a San Diego Charger and one as a Los Angeles Charger. I guess that's a new record, 112 touchdown catches. Oh, he's got one touchdown catch in a soccer stadium. That might be a record alone. The Chargers were truly disgraceful, and I've mentioned it. No one wants them in L.A. Let's look at some of the numbers from not only the Chargers, but let's look at the Rams. The Chargers bringing in 25,000. The Rams bringing 56,000. Combined, that's 81,000 fans in L.A. The USC versus Texas game alone in the same stadium that the Rams played in had 85,000 people alone. A college game bringing more fans than two professional teams in L.A. Like I mentioned, the Chargers, San Diego State has more people showing up. The Rams can't get as many people as USC football. We know who the professional team down in L.A. is, and it's looking like the USC Trojans because no one wants to show up to see L.A. because they truly have been a joke this year. The Rams had to come home from their honeymoon after destroying the Colts in week one. They end up losing to the Redskins 27-20 as Kirk Cousins only needed 179 yards and a touchdown as they got it done on the ground. Robert Kelly had 12 carries, 78 yards, and it was Samaj Perine who actually came in and got 20 carries after Robert Kelly went down with a rib injury. We also had Thompson, who had 3 carries, 2 touchdowns. That guy is a true playmaker out of the backfield. They're going to have to look to take over to see if Robert Kelly has a serious injury or not. And this really wasn't too much of a game. Todd Gurley tried to get things going for the Rams. Probably had his best game of the season. 16 carries, 88 yards, and had a receiving touchdown that he straight hurdled somebody. I talked about Kelsey hurdling. This was the weekend of the hurdles as Todd Gurley got up and over, but it wasn't enough as they lost to the Redskins 27-20. And let's go ahead and look at the rest of the NFC West now. The 49ers and the Seahawks. Oh, man. What an awful game. What a terrible game. Just pathetic. It's been two games for the Niners. They're 0-2, and they still have zero touchdowns. Yes, the final score of this game was 12-9. Seahawks, you were favored by 14 points. What the hell happened? I'll tell you what happened. This offensive line happened. I've tried telling you all season. It's one of the worst offensive lines in all of football. This offensive line is pathetic. They literally have guys transferring over from their defensive line to try to convert to an offensive lineman to try to block somebody. But no, they can't block for hell. And Russell Wilson is running for his life. I want to say the San Francisco 49ers young defensive line looked good. But I think it's mostly in part of how bad the Seattle offensive line was. They couldn't get anything done. Russell Wilson had 198 yards and a touchdown at the end of the game. Richardson caught the game-winning touchdown with a broken finger. Tyler Lockett had 6 catches, 64 yards. And it was Chris Carson taking over the backfield with 20 carries, 93 yards. Eddie Lacy didn't even suit up for this game. Was a healthy scratch. I'm guessing he didn't make weight. What is this? We're going back to Pop Warner days where you got to weigh in before the games and he missed weight. He's an older lighter. What's wrong with Eddie Lacy? They can't figure it out. But the Seahawks, they only needed one touchdown in the fourth quarter. They didn't even need to kick the extra point. Just made this look like an all field goal game. But the Seahawks ended up winning 12-9 in what truly was another pathetic showcase from the 49ers. Brian Hoyer had 99 yards and an interception. 99 yards. That is pathetic. The only bright spot for the Niners, besides their defensive line that looked so great against that terrible offensive line, would have to be Carlos Hyde, had 15 carries, 124 yards. He's one of the first players to go back-to-back 100-yard games in Seattle since David Johnson did a couple years ago. Carlos Hyde has been the one bright spot for this 49ers offense, but he still hasn't found the end zone. As I've mentioned, the 49ers offense hasn't scored a touchdown in the first 2 weeks and are truly looking like one of the worst offenses in the NFL. But if we're going to talk about worst offense, let's stay in that same division. We got the Niners looking incompetent. We got the Seahawks offensive line not being able to do a thing. And then we got Carson Palmer looking like he just came out of retirement home in Arizona for the Cardinals as they squeak out a win in overtime over the Colts, 16-13. Carson Palmer ended the day with 332 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. And Chris Johnson, CJ2K, actually was the leading rusher with 11 carries, 44 yards. But the Colts came out quick and took a lead with Jacoby Brissett. He had 216 yards but could not find the end zone. The Cardinals battled back in the second half. They had a chance to hit the game-winning field goal. They missed. Surprise, surprise, the Cardinals missed how many game-winning field goals last year to try to win the game? But the Honey Badger saved them in overtime, got a big interception, put them in field goal position, and they hit the field goal to win the game as the Cardinals improved to 1-1 in the NFC West, and the Colts fall to 0-2. Just like I said, they're not going to win a game until Andrew Luck comes back in that AFC South. Let's go ahead and transition now to the AFC South. We had a division game between the Titans and the Jaguars, and this was simply a beatdown from the Titans. The Titans, as I mentioned, were my pick to win this division this year. Marcus Mariota comes out with 215 yards and a touchdown. DeMarco Murray got banged up a little bit, but don't worry. They got Derrick Henry, one of the best backups in the league. He had 14 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. And Blake Bortles, 223 yards. I'm guaranteeing 100 yards of those came in the fourth quarter. Garbage time. Blake Bortles always got to boost his stats. And Leonard Fournette, I thought this league was slow. Nope, he only had 14 carries, 40 yards. Did get into the end zone. But as we heard in the numbers preview, we were looking for that back-to-back 100-yard games from a rookie. Didn't get it from Hunt. Didn't get it from Fournette. And we did not even get it from Dalvin Cook. After week one, looked like it was the breakout for all the rookie running backs. Leonard Fournette's bottled up to 40 yards. And the Jaguars lose 37-16. Staying in the AFC South, the Texans took care of the Bengals in an upset on Thursday night. This was one of my favorite bets from our Straight Cash Homie betting segment last week. I took the Texans for the upset, and Deshaun Watson in his first NFL start gets a win. 125 yards, connected with DeAndre Hopkins 7 times for 73 yards, but it was Deshaun Watson on his feet getting the job done as he had 5 carries, 67 yards, and a touchdown. While the Bengals, I'm talking about all this bad offense, what is going on with the Bengals? They're 0-2. Andy Dalton, no touchdowns, and just like the Niners, no touchdowns. They're the first team since 1939 to open with 2 home games and still have 0 touchdowns. This Bengals offense really looks like it's falling apart without Hugh Jackson. We saw the numbers that AJ Green and Dalton were putting up. I said on our preseason podcast, Andy Dalton should be putting up numbers left and right with all the offensive weapons that they have on his team. But no, Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, is struggling, and now people are calling for AJ McCarron, the ex-Alabama quarterback. Man, that's when you know things are bad for the Bengals as they fall to 0-2 in that very tough AFC North division. Let's talk about that AFC North. The Browns and the Ravens had a division game, and the Ravens once again took care of the Browns 24-10. This Ravens defense is no joke. I told you it's looking like a top 10 defense. In 2 games, they have 8 sacks, 7 interceptions, and have only allowed 1 touchdown. Joe Flacco doesn't even have to put up too big of numbers when their defense is playing that good, but he had 217 yards and 2 touchdowns. On the other side for the Browns, DeShone Kizer struggled with 180 yards, 3 interceptions. He was in and out of the game with migraines left and right, and their best wide receiver, Corey Coleman, ended the game with a broken hand. But hey, some good news for the Browns. Joe Thomas, Mr. Consistent, started his 10,000 straight snap. Yes, that's right, 10,000 in a row, and it's for the Browns. This might be some torture. Someone needs to trade him out of there because damn, 10,000 snaps of losing on the Browns does not sound fun, but we got to say respect, especially playing as an offensive lineman. That is a very difficult feat to start to stay healthy. So tip of the cap to Joe Thomas, but the Browns fall to 0-2 in the AFC North, while the Steelers take control of that division by improving to 2-0, winning a huge game over the Vikings. I told you to take the Steelers and the points. That looked like even a better bet after Sam Bradford was ruled out for the game. The Vikings had to stick with Case Keenum, who could only throw for 167 receiving yards. Dalvin Cook, as I mentioned, cannot get back to 100 yards like he did last week. He had 12 carries, 64 yards, and it was the Steelers' offense that was putting up the work, putting up 26 points. Ben Roethlisberger, 243 yards, two touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell had 27 carries, but still did not break that 100-yard mark, 87 yards for Bell. Martavis Bryant came up huge, had three catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown in his welcome back to Pittsburgh game. And Juju Smith-Schuster, the rookie out of USC, with his first touchdown, had a nice little shovel pass, and then to break down Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, and Juju start breaking out. The dice came in the back of the end zone. I'm sure they're rolling dice to see who's going to be rolling up the blunt after the game. No, I'm just kidding, Steelers fans. Martavis Bryant should stay on the straight and narrow, and as long as he's on the field not getting in trouble, this is one of the most dynamic offenses in all of football. So the Steelers ended up getting the job done, 26-9 over the Vikings. We'll go now from the AFC North to the NFC North. In the Sunday night game of the week, the Falcons take care of the Packers 34-23 in a game that I thought was going to be a shootout, but the Packers lost their biggest weapon in the first drive of the game. Jordy Nelson left with some hamstring issues, knee issues, some leg issues, whatever it was. He left in the first quarter and never returned. That left Devontae Adams to be the lead receiver with 8 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown as Aaron Rodgers throws for 343 yards and 2 touchdowns, but it was not enough for this Falcons offense as they turned Sunday Night Football into NBA on TNT Sunday night as Devontae Freeman got into the end zone twice and was shooting free throws, shooting three-pointers as the team celebrations were coming together. And Julio Jones has his biggest game of the year with 5 catches, 108 yards, and he did it pretty quietly. He had almost 90 yards in the first half. He didn't even need to be that big of a factor because being up 34-23, the Falcons had this in cruise control as this defense continues to improve and improve. Dan Quinn, I've mentioned it 1,000 times before, the ex-defensive coordinator from the Seahawks, got this team to the Super Bowl last year with a lot of young guys running around and making plays. Of course, we all know what happened in the second half of that Super Bowl, but this is a defense that's young, upcoming, and really does have a lot of talent. And the Falcons improved to 2-0, while the Packers fall to 1-1. In the NFC North, we had another battle between the NFC North and the South as the Bears went into Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers in their home opener of the season. Yes, we all know what happened last week with Hurricane Irma, but the Buccaneers were back in Florida, back in town, and they put on the work on the Bears 29-7, and this defense was just tearing up Mike Glennon. I know he finished with 300 yards and a touchdown. Those two interceptions were huge. Lavonte David and Quan Alexander, the linebackers from the Buccaneers, were just picking on Mike Glennon. Is it Trubisky time? That's what I want to know. That seems like it has to be the big question. The Bears are saying that they're sticking with Mike Glennon, but I'll give them a week or two more with Mike Glennon before they truly see that, hey, we spent a number one overall pick on Mitch Trubisky, who's seen the other quarterbacks already in the game. Deshaun Watson got his first win already. I think it's going to be Trubisky time sooner than later. But let's go ahead and talk about the Buccaneers as Jameis Winston had 204 yards and a touchdown. It was Jaquizz Rodgers filling in for Doug Martin on his suspension with 19 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown. And Mike Evans making his showcase, 7 catches, 93 yards and a touchdown. Had a nice toe drag in the corner of the end zone as the Buccaneers took care of the Bears pretty easily, 29-7. And then let's stay in the NFC South as the Buccaneers are undefeated, 1-0. The complete opposite of that, the Saints, 0-2. And man, oh man, where is the Saints defense? Are they going to have to break out the paper bags and go back to being the New Orleans Aints? Because the Patriots absolutely roasted the Saints 36-20 as Tom Brady threw for 447 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first quarter alone. The Saints passing defense has allowed 777 passing yards in 2 weeks. That seems like it's a lucky number for the offense, not for the defense, because this Saints defense is being sliced through like a hot knife through butter. It is too damn easy. Gronk was just tearing up like he was playing in a Pop Warner halftime game, and he was the mascot, stiff-arming people left and right. He had 6 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown before he left with an injury. We don't know if it's his groin, we don't know if it's his shoulder, his back, but he said he's fine, and he said he's going to be back for week 3, so the Patriots should be in pretty high hopes after bouncing back from being embarrassed by the Chiefs in week 1. They improved to 1-1 in that pretty weak AFC East. But let's move on now to another matchup between the AFC East and the NFC South as the Bills went on to Carolina to take on the Panthers. The Panthers improved to 2-0 on the year after getting a very unimpressive win over the Bills 9-3. Yes, how much do you want me to talk about this game? The score is 9-3. At least the Seahawks scored a touchdown, made things interesting. But Cam Newton has still struggled back from that shoulder surgery, 228 yards, missed a couple what he called layups, had an easy touchdown to Christian McCaffrey, and he loses one of his biggest weapons now as Greg Olsen leaves with a broken foot. Kelvin Benjamin had 6 catches, 77 yards. But, man, the Bills had a chance to win this game late. But they just blew it, and those are the Bills. I don't think they got that much talent, as I've mentioned all year long. Tyrod Taylor only had 125 yards passing, while he was the lead rusher with 8 rushes for 55 yards, and LeSean McCoy was their leading receiver with 6 catches, 34 yards. This offense just does not have the talent. The box is being stacked. Shady McCoy can't run, and I told you this Carolina Panthers team was going to take care of the Bills and cover the spread just as they did. And then let's talk about another upset of the week that I picked in our Straight Cash Homie betting segment. I told you guys, take the Lions over the Giants. I was not impressed at all with the Giants week one against the Cowboys, and what they do, refused to show up on Monday Night Football. Eli Manning looked terrible, getting delay of game calls on 4th and goal on the goal line. What are you doing, guy? You're a 2-time Super Bowl champion. They couldn't get anything done. Brandon Marshall was disappearing left and right, and it was the Detroit Lions getting it done with a run game. Yes, that's right. Matthew Stafford doesn't even break 200 yards. He's getting paid more millions this year than he had passing yards that game. That's ridiculous. You'd think Detroit Lions, they're going to have to go off and put on a show to try to keep up with this high-powered offense of the New York Giants, but they truly have looked pathetic. Even in Odell Beckham's return game, he was not too big of a factor, and the Lions pull off the upset Monday night to give you guys some money to end the week with our Straight Cash Homie picks. But let's go ahead and look into next week now, as it is time for week 3 of Straight Cash Homie here on the Bay's Golden Days. Randy, what time is it?
Straight Cash Homie.
That's right. It's time for Straight Cash Homie, the betting segment here on the Bay's Golden Days, where we go over every matchup from week 3 of the NFL season against the point spread. And of course, being the Bay's Golden Days, let's look at the Oakland Raiders, who have covered in both weeks of the season to start the NFL season. So the Raider Nation is paying back to the fans and giving us some money. And once again, I'm looking for the Oakland Raiders to win me some money this weekend, as the game has been flexed into the Sunday Night Football schedule. That's right, the Raiders will be playing in prime time Sunday night against the Washington Redskins. The Raiders are favored by 3 points in this matchup. That's a game that I think the Raiders can win pretty easily. We're going to have some huge matchups. My biggest matchup to watch for is to see who Josh Norman is going to cover. Is he going to line up on Amari Cooper, or is he going to line up on Michael Crabtree, who has been having a great season so far? Either way, he can't guard both of them at the same time, so one of them is going to have a big day. So I think the Raiders' offense should be fine against this Redskins defense. On the flip side of the ball, where it's going to be interesting to see how Carl Joseph, our safeties, Reggie Nelson, match up with Jordan Reed. He is one of the most athletic tight ends in the league. He got a little banged up last week. We'll see what kind of shape he is in this week. And then my third matchup to watch for is how the Raiders are going to deal with their former quarterback, Terrell Pryor, playing wide receiver. That's right, TP in the building, the legendary Raiders quarterback, one of my favorite quarterbacks from this terrible era before we got to the return to greatness era. Terrell Pryor was my man. I wanted him to stay in Oakland, be a wide receiver for the Raiders, but he said, no, man, I can't even catch a ball. And now he's over here making one-handed catches left and right. Terrell Pryor, it's going to be interesting to see how him and Crowder match up against our young corners. I want to see more and more of Gerrion Conley. He's only 6 feet tall, but he's got a 6'4" wingspan, so I think Conley can match up with Terrell Pryor. It's going to be interesting to see how our defense matches up against his high-power offense. The Redskins are known for throwing the ball. As I mentioned earlier, Robert Kelly got hurt, so they're going to be passing, 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 especially down in this game. The Titans had a great run offense. Now we're playing a great pass offense. This is a great test for the Oakland Raiders, but no doubt about it, even in a high-scoring game, I got the Raiders covering that 3-point spread and winning you some money this week. Let's move on now to the other side of the bay as we go from one primetime game to another. The Rams and the 49ers will be here in Santa Clara this Thursday night for Thursday Night Football. The Rams are 2.5-point favorites. And Niner fans, this might be your chance. the past 2 years, the only team you've beaten is the Rams. If you want to bet on the Niners, this might be your week. The Rams are 2.5-point favorites. They'll probably win by a field goal, so that will still win you some money for the 49ers. Carlos Hyde against Aaron Donald is going to be a great matchup to watch as this Rams team continue to try to make strides as the Los Angeles Rams. But I think the 49ers could pull off the upset, and I've talked about how bad the 49ers have been all year, but I look for Carlos Hyde to get into the end zone to touch payday dirt. And the 49ers could pull off the upset. I'll take them with the points in my pick 'em this week. We'll keep it moving. We got the Ravens and the Jaguars down in Jacksonville. The Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. I've talked about the Ravens defense so far. And the Jaguars, we know Blake Bortles does not do well against good defenses. So I'll take the Ravens minus the 3.5 points. The Broncos and the Bills will be battling out in Buffalo. Denver has to travel across country, but they are 3-point favorites. The Buffalo Bills, we saw what happened to Ezekiel Elliott and how he got bottled up last weekend. I look for the same thing to happen to LeSean McCoy as the Denver Broncos take care of the Bills. Give me the Broncos and the minus 3 points. The Saints and the Panthers have an NFC South division face-off as the Carolina Panthers are favored by 6 points. Cam Newton has not looked so great so far this year. This is going to be a high-scoring game, but I will take the Panthers at home because the Saints defense, as I mentioned, they can't stop anybody. Look for Kelvin Benjamin to have a big day with Greg Olsen out. The Steelers and the Bears are our next matchup we're talking about in Chicago. The Steelers are favored by 7.5 points. This could be Mike Glennon's last game because if he throws 2 or 3 more picks, it's Trubisky time. I don't have confidence with the Bears, with their backfield, how it's shaping up so far, with Jordan Howard not having the greatest season, and with Mike Glennon back there playing quarterback, I'll take the Steelers minus 7.5 points any day of the week against the Bears. The Falcons and the Lions should be a great game. The Lions start the year off 2-0 and have really been flying under the radar. Still not really getting respect from the NFL power rankings or whatever, but I do think the Falcons on the road inside the dome are going to be able to take care of the Lions, so I'll take the Falcons and the more high power offense minus 3 points. The Browns and the Colts in the battle of who's going to have a top 5 draft pick. 0-2 versus 0-2, and Cleveland is favored in the game. That's how bad the Colts are without Andrew Luck. The Browns are favored over the Colts, and I'll take the Browns to actually win this game. Jacoby Brissett looked decent last week against the Cardinals, but I said I'm not picking the Colts to win a game until Andrew Luck comes back. Moving on to the Buccaneers and the Vikings playing in Minnesota. This is an even pickup game, and I think it might be one of the better games of the week. It's all going to depend on if Sam Bradford is back or not, because with Case Keenum, I just can't pick the Vikings offense to put up points. The Buccaneers defense should load up the box against Dalvin Cook. I'll take the Buccaneers in this young, high-power offense to outscore the Vikings in a pickup game. Give me the Bucs. The Texans and the Patriots follow up that game in New England, and the Patriots are a 13.5-point favorite over the Texans. We saw Deshaun Watson come out last week and get his first win as a rookie, but Bill Belichick has never lost to a rookie. Rookie quarterbacks are 0-8 in their career versus Belichick. It's going to be tough. 13.5 points is a lot, but we saw what the Patriots offense did last week. We saw Tom Brady put up 3 touchdowns in their first quarter. I'll definitely take the Patriots to win, but I'm staying away from that 13.5-point spread. You never know with this Texans defense. J.J. Watt could just have a superhuman game and take down Brady a couple times. We don't know, but I'll take the Patriots to take the win. I would buy down that point spread. Moving on, staying in that AFC East, the Jets and the Dolphins face off in a division matchup. The Jets are not even favored at home against the Dolphins. That's how bad the Jets are this year. Miami is favored minus 6 points on the road. We saw what they did last week against the Chargers. Jay Cutler actually didn't look terrible. Devontae Parker should have a big game against his Jets secondary that struggled huge against the Raiders. I'll take the Dolphins minus 6 points. The Giants and the Eagles face off in an NFC East division matchup. The Eagles are favored by 6 points at home. Yes, I know the home team is usually throwing 3 points, but I was not expecting a 6-point spread for the Eagles. This is a division matchup. I see it being decided by a field goal, so I think the smart bet might be the Giants in the points, but I do like the Eagles to win this game. Probably going to be one of those close division games that is decided by a field goal, so I'll take the Giants and the points. The Seahawks and the Titans should be an interesting game with this Titans smash mouth exotic run offense against the Seahawks defense. We'll see how the Seahawks offensive line holds up because the Titans are favored by 2.5 points. I smell upset. I think the Seahawks will try to figure some stuff out, Russell Wilson's got to get rid of the ball quicker. They got to get Jimmy Graham involved in his offense somehow. And I like the Seahawks to pull off the upset on the road against the Titans. The Bengals and the Packers face off also on Sunday afternoon. The Packers are favored by 9 points. Yes, a whole 9. Got to win by double digits to collect on this bet. But I think the Packers can do it, bouncing back from a loss last week against the Falcons. The Bengals, we've talked about their offense. They haven't scored a touchdown this year. They couldn't even score a touchdown in 2 back-to-back home games. We'll see if they can score on the road against this Packers defense that is not the strongest in the league. But I will take the Packers minus 9 points. Moving on to our final afternoon game of the week. We got the Chiefs and the Chargers facing off in an AFC West division battle. And the Chiefs are favored by 3 points. We know the Chargers, they're in L.A. It doesn't matter. They're still the chokers. They're still going to be choking games left and right. So I'll take the Chiefs to get the win against the Chargers in a nice AFC West division matchup. And then Monday Night Football, we got the Cowboys and the Cardinals. The Cowboys once again playing in prime time. 5:30 Monday night. They're favored by 3 points. The Cardinals almost lost to the Colts last week, came back in overtime and got the win. I think the Cowboys try to come back and send a message saying, hey, we can still play against good defenses. The Cardinals are still a good defense. We'll see how Zeke and Dak respond Monday night. I like them to cover the 3 points. It should be an interesting matchup. We never know. We've seen some teams before where it's the first time Dak and Zeke have ever got blown out. That might be a hit to their self-esteem. We'll see how it plays out. Honey Badger could be over the field making some plays, picking off Dak Prescott. But I think Dak is going to be more controlled, more focused, probably safer with the ball after turning over twice last game. And I think the Dallas Cowboys will take care of the Cardinals on Monday Night Football. And that is every single game from week 3 of the NFL season right here on Straight Cash, homie, on the Bay's Golden Days. We'll do a quick rundown just so you caught everyone. Rapid fire Thursday Night Football. I'm taking the Niners with the upset. I don't know about the upset, but at least giving the Niners and the points. Sunday Night Football, I'm taking the Raiders and the -3 points to cover. Ravens, Jaguars, I've got the Ravens -3.5. The Broncos and the Bills, I'm taking the Broncos -3. The Saints and the Panthers, I'm taking the Panthers -6. The Steelers and the Bears, I'll take the Steelers and the -7.5. The Falcons and the Lions, I'm taking the Falcons and the -3 on the road. The Browns and the Colts, I'll take the Browns -1 point. The Buccaneers and the Vikings in a pick'em game, I'll take the Buccaneers. The Texans and the Patriots, where the Patriots are favored by 13.5 points. This is a game I stay away from, but I do take the Patriots to win. The Dolphins and the Jets, I'll take the Dolphins and the -6 points. The Eagles and the Giants, I will take the Giants +6 in a close division game, but I do think the Eagles overall squeak out the win. The Seahawks and the Titans, I'm taking the Seahawks for an upset +2.5 points on the road down in Tennessee. The Bengals and the Packers, I've got the Packers -9 points. The Chiefs and the Chargers, I'll take the Chiefs -3 on the road. And the Cowboys and the Cardinals, I'm taking the Cowboys -3 on the road. And that's every single pick from week 3 of the NFL season. Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
And that means we're done with the podcast. So once again, thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. Follow us on social media at Bay's Golden Days. For sponsorship opportunities, you can email us at baysgoldendays@gmail.com. We're going to be here next week to break down week 3 of the primetime games. We'll see if both the Raiders and the Niners can both win this year for the first time this season to truly make it a Bay's Golden Days podcast. But if the Niners don't, I'm still expecting the Raiders to, because you know what it is. This podcast is really about Oakland, though. Raiders! It's golden, baby!
Golden!
Steady gold, pony boy.